from the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's a Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show. Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Red 7.
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock.
That's what we call a sack lunch.
I do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
DJ Pittenger on Thursdays down in Tampa. Jim and Jupiter's got the first question. It's not a hard one. It reads like this. Ask TJ, does he think Kirk Herbstreit will be received well by Florida State fans in Ireland? That's a hard question.
I think he's going to get his butt booed off. You know, the thing is, Florida State fans certainly have not let this die, but neither is he. You know, you don't have to respond and write out apology letters and tell us about, you know, your mental health and everything, you know, like, oh, thank God I got my dog because these FSU fans are beating me up. I mean, come on, man. You get paid millions of dollars to talk about football every Saturday. Like, you're living every guy's dream. Just own it and move on. You know, I honestly think that if Kirk would have just – Florida State fans' big beef with Kirk is that – he started a campaign before Jordan even got hurt, saying that he would, if Texas and Alabama won, he, you know, oh, this is a crazy scenario, but I would leave Florida State out in this situation. I mean, the clips and the receipt, I mean, it's all over. I mean, you've seen the videos. And so then when Jordan got hurt, his narrative changed. He said, well, we're leaving him out because the quarterback got hurt. And I think that if he would just own it, if he would just say, yep, you're right. I didn't think you guys were good enough before Jordan got hurt, and that was my thought, and yeah, I just kind of flip-flopped my position. I think Florida State fans would leave him alone, but he's never going to do that, and so Florida State fans are never going to leave him alone. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what that reception looks like. What if, I mean, the Noles and the Tide, I mean, Clemson has to play Georgia, but if that's the only loss between the two of them, if the two teams are 9-1 and Clemson's only loss is to Georgia, could they be back in Tallahassee when Clemson comes to town? Maybe. If they upset Georgia, they certainly will be. So, yeah, I think it'll be worse for them if they happen to come to Tallahassee at any point this year. So, yeah, I think it'll be an unfriendly welcome that the Noles fans give them in Dublin, though.
What I don't understand about Herbie, and I like Herbie, and he's, I'm telling you, if you met him, he's an incredibly nice guy. But I do not understand why you are arguably the face of college football coverage. Why would you care what somebody thinks about you on social media to respond? Why?
I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. We had him on the show one time. He gave us an hour, and I kept saying, man, we got to get you off here. I'm sorry for all the time we're taking. But the conversation was just so good, and he called out so much Florida State history. And like you said, yeah, I like giving people a hard time, too, but like, I have no problems with Herbstreit. I think he does a great job. And like I said, he's living every guy's dream. Like he, you know, there's probably some jealousy in there too. But it's a bunch of idiots on social media, like me and Jim. Like, get on with your life, bro. Who cares?
TJ Pittenger is with us each and every Thursday. Anything coming out of spring on the field and or two-parter here anything new on this lawsuit?
Yeah, so in spring, I mean, all right, Bill, we're starting to do the Kool-Aid thing here in Tallahassee. Everybody loves their spring, though. I will say that. But Mike Norvell's made some comments that, like, I think he knows because of, like, what this program looked like when he got here. I think he understands not trying to set the program up for failure or have unrealistic expectations. And, man, he's making some comments. And there's some talk about these guys at practice. They say that it's the fastest team Florida State has ever had. It's probably the strongest team that they've ever had. People are really excited about just the depth. Like last year's team was good and better. You know, top 22 guys were better. There's no, until I see otherwise, I'm going to stick with that. But they weren't very deep. I mean, you saw what happened when they ran into Georgia. Not that Georgia wouldn't do that to anybody's backups. But Florida State stayed relatively healthy last year until Jordan got hurt. And I think that what has everyone excited this year is, like, they look like they have actual players, like, all over the field. When Mike Norvell first got here, his first recruiting class was, like, mid-20s. And then his second and third recruiting class were, like 19 and 20. And what they've done through the portal, development, starting to recruit better, like a top 15, top 10 level the last couple of years, they've certainly raised that floor up. Now, they're not on Georgia's level, and they're not on Alabama's level or anything like that yet, but they certainly have the talent to be the best team in the ACC, which, again, what is that, 2-3 teams, Clemson, U, Miami maybe. So, you know, I know that's not like, oh, well, they're about to go light college football on fire, but I think they have a chance to be close to as good as they were last year. There is way more depth. They're bigger, they're more physical, they're stronger, they seem to be faster by all accounts. So we'll see what that translates. Do they have the skill that last year's team had? Probably not. That'd probably be a stretch, right? So I'm not saying that they're a shoe-in to go 13-0 again, but I think they're going to be really good. And there's a lot of excitement coming out of spring.
Sam Dog in Middle Georgia says, Bill, ask TJ, if the Seminoles have rivals that differ by their age groups, and here's his point. He said, do the older folks think Florida is the main rival, and the younger folks perhaps think Clemson is?
I don't think anybody – oh, and I forgot to answer the ACC question, too. We'll do that after this. I don't think anybody considers Clemson a rival. Like, I don't. I think they're – there is somewhat of a rivalry or, like, rivalry characteristics there, but I don't think anybody looks at Clemson and thinks about that as a rivalry. Like, older folks think Miami because of the 80s, and younger folks think Florida because of the 2000s. Like, or if you live in a certain area. Like, if you live in Jacksonville, you think it's Florida. If you live in Orlando or Tampa, you're leaning toward Florida as a bigger rival. If you're down in South Florida, probably Miami because that's who you're around. But I think it's more of like a geography or time frame that you either went to school or became a fan. If you became a fan or you went to Florida State in the 80s, I mean, it's Miami. And if you went to school in the 2000s and Tebow was beating your head in every other weekend, then it's Florida, you know, or geography. I don't think anybody really views Clemson like that. I don't think there's this deep-seated hatred for Clemson. I think Florida State fans are fine with Clemson doing fairly well. Now that recruiting's kind of into it, you want your, you know, everybody you go up against to do poorly because it's not like the BCS where you cheer for them every week until you play them. It's more like, I want them to lose so their recruiting falls off and, you know, whatever. But I don't think anybody views Clemson like that. I think you want to beat them, but it's not like that deep-seated hatred. Also, their fan, I mean, you know, you've got, I mean, Miami fans are brutal. All SEC fans are pretty brutal. But, you know, Florida fans, maybe not as bad as Miami. But Clemson fans are so nice. Like, have you ever been around those people like that? You get up there and you want to trash talk, and they're just like, "Hey, man, this, you know, welcome. Thank you for coming to Clemson. You know, enjoy your day, enjoy the game." And you're just like, "What? We're not rivals. You're way too kind for that to be the case." So, yeah, I don't know that anybody sees Clemson like that.
And the lawsuit.
Yeah, so last week, Florida State and the ACC had their first hearing. I think what will come out of that is I think there's a really good chance that the judge dismisses the case. That's, you know, my uneducated take. But then he just has the ACC refile. Them not voting to sue Florida State is a big deal. And I think it's something that if he didn't throw the case out, they could go through the entire thing, and then it might get thrown out on appeal, and that would put you, like, 2 years, you know, then you get, like, 2 years behind. So I think there's a good chance it gets dismissed, and then they just refile and kind of start over in North Carolina. When it's refiled or if it keeps going, I think the North Carolina judge kind of made his take pretty clear that the case will be heard in North Carolina. Now, will the Florida case continue to go on? We'll find out more about that on April 9th. But the judge's point was basically, hey, you kind of had an argument that this was a Florida issue when it was just you suing. But for Clemson suing too, and if North Carolina sues, he didn't mention these teams by name, but if North Carolina sues and then Miami sues and then Virginia sues, it's not a Florida, South Carolina, Virginia battle. It's a North Carolina issue. It's the ACC's issue, and all these other teams are. So anyway, I think he made a good point with that. And so maybe the biggest takeaway there is that we'll probably hear this case in North Carolina, which, you know, Florida State really wanted it to be in Florida, but I don't know that it's a huge deal one way or the other. I think it ends up getting settled anyway, so we'll see.
This comes under the category of first grade level question. We were talking briefly earlier. No, you have no idea where this is going, I can promise you. and I brought it up, reoccurring. I have this reoccurring dream, and it's maybe every couple of months. It's not every week. But here's the dream. I'm in a car. I'm driving. I'm going slow. I'm going in reverse, though, and I'm wanting to stop because I don't want to hit anything, and I hit the brakes as hard as I can, and it will not stop. I don't know what happens after that. I never really hit anything, but I can never get the car to stop. Do you have any type of dream that keeps coming back to you?
Oh, my goodness.
I know. That's weird. That is odd. I admit.
When I was little, I haven't had this. I'll probably start having this dream again, thanks to you. But when I was younger, I used to dream. Okay, so back in the 90s, a different time and place, maybe this is why I'm so screwed up. Our parents left us in the car when they would run into the store. They'd leave the car on, we'd lock the doors, no big deal. But obviously you can't do that now. I used to dream that my mom ran into the store, left me in the car with my sister, and whatever, I'd either hit the shifter or something, and the car would start rolling forward and, like, run into the store, and there's this huge crash. Obviously, as a kid, you dramatize things, but I would dream that there was, like, this huge crash. Obviously, if you rolled into a store there, I don't even know that you'd break the glass because you're going, like, what, 3 miles an hour. But anyway, I dreamed that there, you know, you'd run into the store, and then I'd be in so much trouble. I would have that dream all the time as a kid. But, yeah, nothing recent.
Yeah, you're right. That's going to come back. That's coming back.
It's coming back tonight.
Tell everybody how they can get your content.
Yeah, we tell you about Double Fries, No Slaw all the time. I started a national channel that got picked up some pretty good steam called College Football Addiction. Go check it out on YouTube.
All right, man. See you next week.
See you, buddy.
Dom up in Pittsburgh says, Bill, that dream means you should be hitting pappies before you go to sleep. Probably a good point. All right. Next up, Mr. Dave Hooker on Rocky Top. That's where we're going, y'all. I'm the Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Still carrying a heavy volume of traffic right now, trying to get in up through the Antioch area from Rutherford County, Murfreesboro, towards Nashville. Just that normal buildup right now. Same thing going on over there in Hermitage. That's starting to slow at times. 40 West is Central Pike. They're really loaded up in there now on Vietnam vets coming inbound there through Hendersonville all the way up to Conference Drive. Looked like it was slowing there through Millersville down into Goodlettsville on 65 there southbound. Not sure if something just happened. 24/7 reliable crane and rigging services here in Middle Tennessee. Tomahawk, Crane, and Rigging. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time track.
Hi, I'm Jeff Fisher. Guess what? The Cats are back. The Nashville Cats will be returning to the Municipal Auditorium on April 27th in the season opener against the Minnesota Myth. There will be 5 total games played at Municipal Auditorium with 1 additional game played up in Clarksville at F&M Bank Arena on Armed Forces Day on Saturday, May 18th. For player or dance team tryouts or tickets, log on to thenashvillecats.com.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Hey, if you're looking for a place to catch all the hockey and hoops action this spring, look no further than the Alley Pub in Bellevue. And now here's Samantha to tell you about one of their great weekly specials.
Attention service industry. We want to say cheers to you at the Alley Pub, located at 7040 Highway 70 South in Bellevue. Every Wednesday night, bring a copy of your ABC card or pay stub to receive 20% off of your tab. Only at the Alley Pub, Bellevue's best sports bar and grill.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
You have your franchise quarterback going into his second year who could use all the help he can get, whether it's system and maybe a veteran guy who's been there, done it, in that room that can help bring him along. I think it's time for the Titans to bring in another Neil O'Donnell, Kerry Collins, Matt Hasselbeck type.
The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
The Bill King Show, broadcasting live on Sports Radio 93.1 WXKO ESPN Middle Georgia. Call or text the show now at 615-844-5600. The Bill King Show.
Off the Hook Sports with us on Thursdays. Pretty happy time right now on Rocky Top. Baseball team, very attractive club so far this year. Basketball team in the Sweet 16. Football spring practice. Dave, you do it every day. What's the priority right now among the fan base?
Well, I think it would be Creighton and you know the Sweet 16 since it's right up against it. But make no doubt.
Malakava be an all-SEC player than for the Vols to, let's say, make the Final Four? Because if he's an all-SEC player, I think you're talking about Tennessee competing for a championship. So, yeah, this basketball, as you know, as well as I do, or better, that it's a lot of fun when Tennessee makes the run in March. But still, spring practice is ongoing, and based on our analytics, there's an awful lot of interest in that, needless to say.
Has Tennessee been in the Elite Eight other than the Bruce Pearl year? I think we lost Dave again. Patton, reconnect with him if you can. Yeah, we've lost Dave. We lost him there the first couple of seconds as well. Maybe we can clean that up. Dave Hooker, Off the Hook Sports, covers Tennessee, and again, baseball team hosting Georgia. Georgia's been good this year. Year one of their new leadership. And basketball team in the Sweet 16 plays Creighton. Football team spring practice. Nico firmly in charge. A absolute incredible physical talent. Nico. Dave, I didn't hear you after I asked the question. Has Tennessee in basketball been to the Elite Eight other than that Bruce Pearl season?
No, they haven't. They've only been to the past the Sweet 16 once. That was the Elite Eight with Bruce Pearl.
Right.
And then they've never made it to the Final Four. So Rick Barnes has made just one Final Four in his illustrious career. So really, if you look at it, history's pretty lined up against Tennessee. We'll see if they can right the ship this weekend.
Is Tennessee favored in this game? It gets great, and I would think they are.
Yeah, Tennessee's a favorite in this game. I think about 8 points. That's gone and moved a little bit
right.
Just because – these numbers are kind of weird and with the tournament, because one school could have a much bigger fan base and move the number significantly. But, yeah, I think that with what Creighton does, and that is they're going to play the perimeter. They're going to play good defense on the perimeter, not let you beat them with a three-point shot. And then they've got a big seven-footer down low that they're going to try to funnel people to when you get in the interior. So you're going to have to hit a lot of mid-range jump shots, and I don't know when is the last time we've said that. That's not been very in vogue in a while, but that's what Tennessee's going to have to do to advance this weekend.
Injuries in football. Caleb Beasley, freshman here out of Lipscomb Academy. DB Cam Seldon, I saw there was an injury with him. Anything else I'm missing?
No, that's pretty much it. Seldon was the latest one, and I guess we're kind of getting at the point where you have to wonder, is Seldon going to turn into one of those spring practice stars that we used to see? I know you remember names like Kirsten Biggers. David Yancey was another one that would have these huge spring practices. Well, Seldon is much more athletically gifted than those guys, don't get me wrong, and I think he can be a player. But I got some questions over his vision when he runs the football, and now he's going to be out for another spring. So you don't see this as much, guys being moved from one position to the other. Nobody's told me this, but you know, could he be a linebacker at some point? I wonder, and I think that might be a good fit for him. But right now, it's really tough to tell, unlike the old days, and I don't want to sound like the get-off-my-lawn guy, but it's really difficult to tell how injured somebody might be and how much it might just be a precautionary standpoint. Now, with Seldon, it is a shoulder surgery, so that's for real. But there are a lot of guys that will be held out that probably could play on Saturday if they absolutely had to.
Wrigley Field Vol up in Chicago says, talk to Dave about this. He said, I noticed earlier this week that the NCAA failed to meet the filing deadline to appeal the recent NIL TRO ruling against them. Was that anticipated in Knoxville?
My anticipation was that once Tennessee won that initial case where they sued the NCAA, that the NCAA would roll over, and that's essentially what they have done. So, you know, my thinking is if the NCAA, not to go off on a tangent, but if the NCAA wants to be relevant, how about trying to police possible gambling violations? We all know gambling is out there. It's pervasive. Everybody can have an app. We're hearing of issues cropping up. Shohei Ohtani, probably the biggest name out there. But you could make yourself really relevant because these guys have NIL money and anybody can download the app. So become relevant that way, because the days of being relevant by policing paying players are over.
Ken in Middle Georgia says, ask Dave, what defines a successful SEC baseball season other than a conference title or national championship? He said in football, many would say it's either bowl eligibility, 8 wins, 10 wins, or being undefeated. But in baseball, what would the measurement be?
In baseball, I think that this program is funded to the point that you expect to make the College World Series each and every year. Now, you should put together a team that's equipped to do that. You and I know that things happen. Chemistry can be an issue. Injuries can be an issue. So you're not going to make it every single year. But I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility to expect 3 out of 4. To make it to the College World Series, and it certainly helps that you're in what I think is the best baseball conference out there in the SEC. So when you get to Omaha, you should have some more success than Tennessee has had in the past. So I think it's definitely Omaha, and think it's about to get to the point where you need to have a little bit more success there. But make no doubt about it. I mean, this is a tougher ticket, Tennessee's baseball team, than the Lady Vols. Now, I don't know if they'll ever surpass the men's basketball team or not, but this is certainly a baseball team and a program that's been very, very well received by the Tennessee fan base.
News this week that Billy Amick's going to be out. They said probably a short period of time. Now, here's the way it was phrased. And I don't know if some intern wrote this, but it said with an appendix injury. I've never heard something called an appendix injury. Yeah. I know that when your appendix bursts, you got to go get it taken care of, but that was strange.
Okay. You and I have got to stop talking so much, because that stood out to me, that very release. And all the releases that we get, that's what stood out to us from all the different schools. So, yeah, I noticed that, too. Now, I know that Chris Sims had a torn appendix when he was in the NFL and almost died from a hit. I think what Drew Bledsoe had as well. So let's hope it's nothing like that. But if it's appendicitis, you're usually out 4 to 6 weeks. I thought that was a very oddly phrased release as well from the University of Tennessee, and that's going to require a little bit more digging and maybe a consultation with my medical professional.
That's an All-American bat, at least for a week or so, however long they're saying, out of the lineup.
Yeah, and it almost sounded like in the release that somebody was trying to write around a more extended sort of, like they didn't want to say appendix or appendicitis, because when that happens, you're usually weak when you come back for a month.
Right. Yeah, I know. Dave Hooker is with us, Off the Hook Sports. Anything else coming out of spring football? Any other items, tidbits? I saw an interview with Lance Hurd.
Yeah, I think Hurd's really good. I think Hurd's
By the way, Dave, I've never heard him speak until then, but go ahead. I'm serious.
Yeah, he's immediately one of the strongest guys on the team, according to Cooper Mays, who I'm visiting with this afternoon. So we'll kind of get a recap of the first half of spring. There are a couple names at you there that are making an impact. One would be Mike Matthews, the receiver, five-star receiver, has already made a couple of plays. And then I promise I'm not just stoking the fire, because everybody loves the young, unproven players, but Boo Carter is another one that is getting mentioned by Josh Heupel. So just getting mentioned at this point as a true freshman is pretty strong, because Josh Heupel didn't dole out a lot of praise to anybody, much less underclassmen, for this year. So there's a couple of guys for you there that, even though practices are closed, I'm hearing are having really good spring camps. So they'll take a little break for Easter, and then they'll get back at it for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, freshmen, and is it fair to criticize Heupel, who's done a good job at Tennessee, but to criticize him for, in some cases, not playing the younger player?
I think yes, but my reasoning behind that is I think he gets too loyal at times to players, and I think he gets too stubborn with some of his decision-making. The most obvious, now it doesn't as much fit into what you were asking about the younger players, was right. I thought they were going to stick with Joe Milton forever over Hendon Hooker, had Hendon Hooker not gotten hurt. Now, last year definitely plays into your question, and that is I thought they could have played Nico at some point. So I think there's a reluctancy to play young receivers and quarterbacks in this system, because they have to completely be on the same page or the offense can just look completely crazy. I mean, just imagine an option where the guy's trying to take the ball and the quarterback's trying to pull the ball at the same time. I mean, that's a lot of what Tennessee's passing offense is like. You have to read the safety. So, yeah, I think he's hesitant to play young guys at those two positions. But I also think he gets stubborn once he picks a guy.
Dave, tell everybody what they need to do to get all your content.
Off the Hook Sports, just go to Off the Hook Sports, and we do have books available and getting ready to go to press with the Tennessee versus the NCAA shirt, so people can check that out on the merch shop.
All right, man. See you next week.
Take care.
Dave Hooker checking in with us. Jim in Jupiter, Florida, says, Bill, I have a similar dream about the brakes not working. Years ago, Bill, I bought an old Chevy Tahoe to tow one of my boats. And one time I was going down a bridge, I lost the brakes and almost hit a person crossing the street and almost hit a car and ran a red light. That really happened and was the scariest thing ever, and that's why I keep having that dream. So that was based on an event from him. Mine, as far as I know, is not based on an event. It just keeps happening. Dom in Pittsburgh, Bill. That means you need to lay off the pappies. Maybe that's it. Yeah, maybe that's what the issue is. Even though I've never had a sip of pappies, but still, I get your point. Kevin in Muletown, Bill. Tennessee is about a 3-point favorite. It was never 8, like Dave said. I have not looked at any of the spreads for college basketball coming up with the Sweet 16 and then the Elite 8. So I would figure Tennessee is a favorite, but what the number is, I would be unaware. Yeah, I wouldn't be in the loop on that one. J.C. Sherbert coming up, hour number 3, about 20 minutes into hour number 3. TheBigSpur.com and I think the new collective, a merger with J.C. and another collective. I think it's called the Scarlet Trust. Can somebody confirm? I forget that. I was so used to Carolina Rise that I'm having trouble transitioning to the new name. But J.C. says this is a positive thing. It's a very good thing, this merger, for them and also for South Carolina's benefit, which is positive. Yeah, it's all good. Really no other fallout from Kentucky's decision, which I figured they would, to bring Cal back. A couple of days ago it was announced that he's back. And I don't know what the parameters are for the future, but I would say what's going on right now, another one and done, another disappointment would probably finish it for Cal. What the roster makeup, is it still going to be Johnny Five Star and a couple of veterans from the portal? Is that going to be the business model? Haven't really heard. I've seen some quotes from Cal, but nothing else. Yeah, nothing else. Tom in Myrtle Beach says, Bill, my dreams are not radio friendly. I understand. I have that one. The other one is I'm somewhere. It's never the same place. And I can't find my wallet. Sometimes my phone, too. I reach into my pocket. It's just not there. Just gone. All right, we'll take the break. Come right back. Happy Thursday, y'all. Tomorrow on the road at the Omni. Yeah, we're there. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It looks like a minor accident. They moved it over to the side. A little bit of rubbernecking going on up in Madison, 65 southbound there in Briley. It's increased even more out here in the last 15, 20 minutes on I-40 coming eastbound through the Mount Juliet area as all that traffic continues to come in from Wilson County through Hermitage. It looked like it was running a little bit slow on 840 going westbound just past Highway 41 in that section of Rutherford County. A 24/7 reliable crane and rigging services right here in Middle Tennessee, Tomahawk Crane and Rigging. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The Locksmith Company, our full-service locksmithing expert, is reminding listeners that every 2 seconds, someone in the U.S. needs blood. Giving equals living, so please consider donating blood today. This message is brought to you by The Locksmith Company, a proud veteran employer. For all your residential, commercial, or automotive locksmithing needs, call today for a free estimate or 24/7 emergency service at 931-801-5427, 931-801-5427. And also visit the lsco.com. The Locksmith Company is looking forward to seeing you.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, Prevagen has been shown to improve memory. A Pharmacy Times National Survey of Pharmacists rated Prevagen the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand for the fifth year in a row. You can find it in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere without a prescription. Help your memory. Try Prevagen today. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
With 13 locations nationally, including Smyrna, Star Leasing Company is a semi-trailer one-stop shop and the perfect place to build a career as a semi-trailer mechanic. Seeking candidates with all levels of experience, Star Leasing Company has a semi-trailer technician trainee program with sign-on and quarterly bonuses and other opportunities such as $1,000 for having a yearly physical. The package also includes 401k with company match, health, dental, and vision insurance, competitive pay with weekly paychecks, and paid holidays and time off. Star Leasing Company, not your typical semi-trailer leasing company. It's starleasing.com to learn more.
It's JB and the Generals.
We're going to re-sign Derek. We're going to bring Ryan back for one more year. I can win.
The band is coming back.
What happened last year? In the 11th hour, they signed D-Hop. But I strongly believe that Vrabel, at the last hour, you know, slammed his fist on the table and said, I can win with this team. Let's not start the rebuild.
Weekdays 9 to 11, live on WNSR.
While working, he eats kale and pets a cat. Bill King is a multitasker.
Down into South Florida we go. Down to Jupiter, to be exact. Jim, welcome in.
So, Billy, I've had to take my office on the road. I'm at a Panera Bread. My wife stayed home today, and I can't do any of my office stuff with her there. So, you're on the road with me today, too.
Wow. How come, I don't want to get personal, but why can't you do your work in the house with your wife there?
Yeah, you would think I could. I have an office in the house. It's supposed to be my place to do work. And if she's there, she's just talking to me the whole time, and I can't get anything done. So I don't really work out of an office anyway. I have some admin stuff I have to do.
Right.
But, yeah, it's just too much is going on, you know. Too much is going on. But, so I called. Sam Dog was asking about Florida State. And TJ, you know, I love him, but he's very wrong about older Noles. And, hey, it's the older Noles, he said, hate Miami. It's the old, I mean, older Noles, young Noles, whatever Noles. 80% of Noles hate Florida more than any team. You know, that's our biggest rival. So a perfect example is that I went to school when all three were national championship quality. We won a natty. Miami just won a natty, played for one while I was there. Florida was getting there. So you would think that with all the wide rights and me growing up with Miami winning all those national titles that I would hate Miami more and I live down here. It's Florida by far. Florida is our biggest rival, and that goes for most ages. And it's not even close.
Wow. I guess I could see that. That state, you, but yeah, all the heartbreaks against Miami.
Well, it's because of all the stuff, you know, that Florida did to keep Florida State from becoming what we became. And, you know, a lot of politics and stuff with that. I mean, that's the main reason. And so, like, you know, how people are talking about, you know, when will Florida State get over the playoff snub? Have you ever heard of a game, the Lane Fenner game for Florida State, Florida, by any chance?
Don't think I have.
Well, I'll send you a pic. Basically, Florida, you know, Florida State was the young coming up, you know, not even up and coming, just a crappy team. And we beat Florida on a catch by Lane Fenner, and some SEC ref called it a non-catch. We haven't forgotten that, and that was the 60s. I wasn't even born yet, and we all know about that game, you know? So we're never forgetting.
That's, but wow. That's before Bobby Bowden.
Oh, way before, yeah. Or maybe Bobby might have been an assistant, but yeah, I'll send you the info on that. And the other thing about Clemson is that you would think we would have this issue with them because they completely owned us, you know, from 2015 until this last year. But, you know, going back, we controlled that series so much. And TJ did hit on a big thing, is that they're pretty nice. They're really nice fans. So there's not really any animosity. I mean, it's a big game, and we want to beat Clemson, but, man, I have no ill feelings for Clemson whatsoever. It's not a rivalry. I think Clemson fans want it to be, at least on their – we just don't – you know, probably we should. I mean, they've owned us, right, until last year. But we just don't. We have two rivals. It's Florida and Miami, but Florida by far – and, you know, it's just, it goes to that. They're state U, and we got there first. We've gotten there bigger. We're bigger. We're better. And we know it, and they know it. Y'all have a good one.
Yeah, Clemson and Florida State have played some memorable games, but it's not a historic matchup. It's not a matchup that's chock full of memories and many, many years of some kind of deep rivalry. Yes, it just so happens those are the two best football programs in that league. That's true. That's at the moment not debatable. But there's no history there other than some good games. My favorite would be the Punt-Ruski game. That's a very famous moment, a very tactical famous moment. That would be, of all the times that Clemson, Florida State have played on and off through the years, that would be the number one standout moment for me between those two. Huge moment, too. Defining moment, too. Gutsy call by Bobby Bowden in that bowl game, to say the least. Got to get a break. Again, we'll transition here soon into Hour 3. J.C. Sherbert will be with us. Yes, it is the Garnet Trust. That is the new name of the collective, J.C.'s Collective, which was Carolina Rise, merged with another collective, and they call it Garnet Trust. I believe that was their name, Garnet Trust. He also has thebigspur.com. We will talk to him about 20 minutes into hour three, as we do each and every Thursday. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Looks like a crash over here by the airport. They moved it over to the side, but a lot of rubbernecking on 40 westbound, right at Briley Parkway. Again, right when you come past B&A Airport, it's already busy over here this time of the morning. You got all that traffic coming in from Hermitage here into Donelson. It's crowded now on Vietnam Vets westbound at Conference Drive, getting on that ramp to 65, headed down through the Madison area. It's still pretty heavy, but it's been moving fairly decent on 24 west up through the Antioch area, coming in from Murfreesboro. Princess Hot Chicken now has new items on the menu. Check it out at grilled chicken tenders, Mediterranean salads. They're online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
In a single moment, everything can change. When a player's sudden cardiac event brought a national football game to a halt, it shone a spotlight on the importance of CPR readiness. Now, with youth sports in full swing, the American Heart Association is rallying parents and coaches to be ready in an emergency. To be ready, learn hands-only CPR. It's a skill anyone can learn in minutes. Visit heart.org/hands-only CPR and become a lifesaver today.
Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel downtown is at the heart of Music City. Located within walking distance of the Country Music Hall of Fame, Bar Lines at the Omni is your downtown honky-tonk destination. Watch your team from any seat on their plentiful HD TVs and catch a live show on the Bar Lines stage featuring live music 7 days a week. Bar Lines has the ultimate Southern comfort food. Get started with classic fried green tomatoes or bourbon barbecue wings. Then it's on to the massive Smashville double stack or the world famous Bar Lines grinder. Oh, you've never heard of the Bar Lines grinder? Two kinds of cheese, lettuce, Dijon, smoked turkey, smoked bacon, smoked ham. Now that's some smoke you want. Local brews and local spirits are on tap at Bar Lines. Take a seat on the patio outside and soak up the rhythm of Music City. Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
And now, the fine folks at FMR Construction Services are on the air, proudly saluting the brave men and women of our U.S. military, both past and present. Thank you. This message is courtesy of FMR Construction Services, your certified pros. For commercial and residential roofing, general contracting, and painting needs, call FMR Construction Services today at 615-788-7662. 615-788-7662.
It's a Bill King Show.
We are college football centric. That is the sun that warms our planet that we live on. Our planet actually isn't flat or round. It's an oblong spheroid. And we are here to proselytize about it, edify it every day on this here radio show.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Scouts had to come up with a whole new star system just to classify him. It's Bill King.
I just sent you an audio clip. It does not need to be edited. It's a play in a football game. There's no profanity. But, Patton, tell me when you have that secured and ready. It's from 1988. It is Clemson, Florida State. This clip, for me, I think I have a pretty powerful opinion, is the highlight of Clemson and Florida State's history. Now, again, I don't have an emotional investment in Clemson or Florida State, right? The outcome of the game doesn't matter to me. It's just a monster moment in the ball game. That's the only thing that matters. It's just a phenomenal moment in a game back in 88. Now, Florida State had been picking up steam as a program. Bobby took the job, what, 76-ish? But Florida State in the 80s started picking up steam to catapult them into a dominant decade of the 90s. And 88, it was Clemson and Florida State playing. And, Patton, do you have that clip ready? We'll get to it here in a moment. But, and it's only about a minute long, and it's not edited. Not that there's any bad language in there, there isn't, but it's going to be a studio situation in the beginning, and then it goes to the field. I believe, and a lot of you guys have told me through the years, Ron Franklin's one of your favorites. He's not one of mine, but you guys, a lot of you say you love Ron Franklin when he was one of the main voices doing college football on ESPN. And I believe it might be him. I'm not sure, but it might be him on this broadcast. We'll be able to tell when we hear the clip. Okay, this is from 1988. I think this is the most poignant moment in the history of Clemson, Florida State against each other.
With a minute 33 to go in the game, it's 21-21. And here's the short handoff, and the little handoff to the upback. Leroy Butler's got a long way to go to the 40. Leroy Butler to the 50. Leroy Butler to the 40, to the 30. Leroy Butler to the 20. Leroy to the 10. Leroy Butler knocked out of bounds at the 4-yard line. What a play by the 7. Awesome razzle-dazzle.
Now the ball snapped to him. He takes it up here, and this guy here is sitting like this. You know, very original.
This stunned crowd at Clemson is just awed by the guts of that play.
Why did you do that?
I wanted somebody to win. We were determined somebody going to win that game.
So there you have it. That's Bobby Bowden. They cut to clips of him in that particular video of Leroy Butler on that long trick play, the punt Ruski play. Now, if you're a Clemson fan, and I totally understand it, that is not what you want to hear. I understand that. No, I understand that. Topwater Assassin. Bill, I was having a good day until you brought up punt Ruski. Florida State is a respectful rivalry. It's always a game to get excited about, but if they beat us, it's not like I'm going to hear about it in church on Sunday. That was Gene Deckerhoff. Yeah, I knew. You could tell it was not Ron Franklin. Jim and Jupiter, Bill, that was the G word, great Gene Deckerhoff doing the call. So that was the Florida State broadcast, is what that was, of that moment. That was, I just remember being, my jaw maybe on the ground during that moment of that game. Aaron in the 615. Bill, that was Mr. Gene Deckerhoff. Yes. Who just, didn't he, guys? And I've never really heard his broadcast. I've heard you guys always talk about him and how much you enjoyed him. But didn't he just retire? He did the Florida State games. He also did Tampa Bay games. So his weekends during football were, travel-wise, no telling what he had to endure to get to both games, right? But did it. And did those games, did the Florida State games, and did the Tampa Bay games for many, many, many years. And very revered down in the state of Florida. Let me look that up. Gene Deckerhoff, who, by the way, is a Florida alum, right? Isn't that right? I think, correct me on that one, too. Announced his retirement from Florida State following the 22 spring game. Yeah, I knew it was recently. And he still does the Bucks? Okay. I thought maybe he retired from there, but you're saying no, that's not the case. All right. Hour 3 coming up. Omni Nashville Hotel.